Welcome to this session on sponsorship. My name is Robert, and I am a sexaholic. I will be your leader for this session. In the spirit of the fifth tradition, to carry the message, this session will be recorded. The recorder will not be turned off during the session. If you do not wish to be recorded, you may participate by listening or attend another session. We ask that those who choose to share step up to the microphone so that those who listen to the recording can follow the discussion. Please do not tamper with the recording equipment. I don't think I was supposed to read that. Will you please join me in opening the session with the Serenity Prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. The SA purpose, Sexaholics Anonymous, is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop lusting and become sexually sober. There are no dues or fees for SA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. SA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sexually sober and help others to achieve sexual sobriety. Our panelists for this session are these guys, and I'll get to them in a second. Each of our panelists will share for a few minutes on the topic. We will then open the meeting for sharing our questions. Again, we ask that those who choose to share step up to the microphone so that those who listen to the recording can follow the discussion. We ask that you be mindful of the time to allow others a chance to share. This is Tom and Will and Steve and Patrick, and I sponsor all these guys, some longer than others. And Patrick and I are actually working our way through the steps a step a week, and he lives in a different city right now. And Dimitri is also here, and Dimitri is in Blacksburg. Patrick is in Charleston, and we do a conference call. It's not my preferred way of doing it, but it seems to work. Tom has worked through the steps when I was in Charleston, and he has less than a year. Patrick's got a little more than a year. Steve has
16,
and Will has
15.
So there's a range of sponsorship here. My sobriety date is 1/3/91. I picked up an 18-year chip Thursday. The purpose of this meeting is for you. That I've been sponsoring people in this program ever since I got sober, and I sponsor people the same way I was sponsored. And rather than me tell you how I sponsor people, I think that these guys will probably do a far better job of that. And what I've asked these guys to kind of address is what I hope will be of benefit to the newcomer, which is, what are you looking for in a sponsor? And secondly, what'd you get? Who'd you settle for? And lastly, what are you getting out of it now? And or what have you gotten out of it? And with that, I think we'll start with the person with the least amount of sobriety and work up to the person that has the most amount of sobriety. And they'll each talk for a couple of minutes, and then we'll see if we can address your concerns, and if you have any questions or whatever, if you wanted to write them on a piece of paper, I'd be happy to put some of that out, and we can do a ask it basket if you want. And or if you just want to raise your hand and ask questions, that's fine too. But you know, there's several of us up here that sponsor a lot of people and have been doing it for a long time. So if you want to draw on that experience, now would be a good time to do it. And as before we started this meeting, as we were waiting for the recording equipment to be turned on, one of the questions from a member in the audience was, you know, I don't want to be a burden to the sponsor, and I would like to address that, and that is, my recommendation to the newcomer is whatever sponsor you get, work them like a borrowed mule, and secretly they'll love you for it. Tom?
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom, and I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Tom.
And my sobriety date is 11/14/08, and
forms that again.
I don't think so. Okay. Initially, when I came into the program, I came into the program in June. I'm what my sponsor calls, when he's in a good mood, a slow learner. When he's in a bad mood, I'm a slipper. And Robert's been my only sponsor in the program, and a friend referred me to the program to SA, and he told me, find the meanest SOB you can find and ask him to be your sponsor. So I'm thinking drill sergeant when I'm looking for a sponsor, and so when I met Robert, I thought he was too nice. So I was initially a little skeptical to ask him to be my sponsor. I found out later I was wrong. He's not too nice. He's just what he needs to be. But so I was looking for somebody who had what I wanted. And, you know, when I came into the program, I was fine, you know, effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. So I was looking for somebody that had some kind of balance and peace of mind and long-term sobriety and hope, because that's what I was really looking for when I came to this program, was hope, because I was hopeless. So I was at the end of my rope. So when I came here broken, Robert was one of the first people that I spoke to in the program, and I asked around to a couple of guys in the program who had either been a sponsee of Robert's, or, you know, who do they recommend, and pretty much everybody had said, you know, ask Robert. Robert would be a good choice if that's what you're looking for in a sponsor. When I first met him, I liked how he laid out, you know, he just went through the pamphlet about sponsorship and being a sponsee, and he asked me a question. He said, are you willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober? And that resonated with me, and I appreciated that, and he's reminded me that, you know, are you willing to do what it takes to stay sober? Do you want to be sober? When I had a relapse, and I was really broken up about it, and had all these feelings, you know, like similar to how I felt when I was a kid and let my dad down, and, you know, I was really broken up about it, and I had to call him and say, hey, I slipped, I relapsed, and I was expecting all this sympathy and empathy and this outpouring of whatever, and he said, that's strike one, as a sponsor, he gave me some boundaries, which I need. You know, three strikes, you're out. And so it wasn't, oh, Tom, gosh, you know, let me mollycoddle you or whatever. It was, that's strike one. And I realized I drug my codependency into the program and was looking for this father figure, you know, and he's not that, Robert said. And I shared that with him after, you know, after we talked about the relapse and the slip, and you know, I'd share with him that I thought, gosh, you know, I think I'm like trying to latch on to you like a father figure or something, and that's not what I need. And he said, good. He said, I appreciate you sharing that, because who the hell wants to be friends with a newcomer? You're sick. So let's get through the steps. Friendship will come. Stick with the program, and do you want to be sober? and he has one of the greatest gifts he's given me is that he doesn't answer all my questions. He makes me take those questions to God sometimes, when rather than make me dependent upon him as a sponsee, and he'll tell me to take it to God and pray about it, instead of just, you know, force feeding me and making me dependent upon him as a sponsor. So that's what works for me. So thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
I'll pass that down to Patrick.
Hey, I'm Patrick. I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Patrick.
Been sober since October 15, 2007. My forms of acting out include exhibitionism, voyeurism, promiscuity, strip clubs, massage parlors, objectifying women. I'm addicted to lust in many forms. Grateful to be here today.
Here.
I'm grateful to be here today. Talk a little bit about what I was looking for in a sponsor. In general terms, I was looking for someone who I could trust and I respected, and someone who didn't come off as God, someone who was fallible and was honest about it, and someone who understood the steps in a way that made sense to me, and someone who could communicate that to me, so there was a communication connect. I don't know what that has to do with interests, common interests, or maybe intelligence or something, but someone I could communicate with and felt comfortable doing that. Someone who wasn't necessarily my best friend. I wasn't looking for, you know, someone who I necessarily palled around with and had everything in common with. But just those things basically that I said. And definitely someone who, what was important to me, consistently demonstrated thought processes that were sober thinking, and lived the principles of the program in his affairs. So that was important to me. And someone who demonstrated an interest and a willingness to serve and to help others. So it's fairly consistent with the program. I've been around the program for 7 or 8 years, in and out of the rooms, obviously a chronic slipper and relapser. And now I've been sober 15 months, and I've had a couple of sponsors and some sort of co-sponsors or temporary sponsors. And I think what has contributed to the success right now is definitely a commitment to the steps, and a commitment to the program of sponsorship, you know, showing up and being available. The things that didn't seem to work out before, I guess, was just a lack of commitment. People who maybe tended to want to see me as a student of theirs that they were teaching and preaching to, instead of sort of sharing with a good example of what they've learned, or just somebody who wasn't committed to the process. And it's going well. It's going very well now. And the steps have to be central, and so that I can attempt to live those in my life. Anything else I should address specifically, how it is now? I think that's just coming to mind, what comes to mind. I'd love to talk with anyone about specific questions, give my experience in choosing a sponsor and how it is now. Thank you.
Morning. I'm Will, a sexaholic.
Hey, Will.
I'm grateful to be here this morning. And I wanted to address, what was your name?
Jeff.
Jeff, your question about, I'm sorry?
Love and Sex Act.
Love and Sex Act. Your question on being a burden, the answer is you will be. You will be a burden. In fact, you even said something about phone calls because when I first started working with Robert, and actually it's still true today, when I make phone calls, it's not quite as strong as it used to be, but there's two givens. One is that I'm going to be a burden to the person I'm calling, and the second is that I already know what they're going to say, so why make the call anyway? And I ignore it, and I call. And I'm always wrong, well, at least about knowing what they're going to say. But one of the things about sponsorship for me was I had to get beyond that, the whole burden thing. Because for me, what it spelled out was, I'm not important enough to recover. And it's interesting to me in that I could destroy someone else's life. So I was important enough to do that. But I wasn't important enough to call somebody and just kind of share that I wasn't doing very well. And I'm sure there's, psychoanalytical, there's a book in there somewhere for us that suffer from that. But in terms of what I look for in a sponsor, Robert was, when I first met him and I would hear him share, he didn't follow the rules. He would say, "We do this." And I'm like, "Okay, it's 12 steps, man. You can't say we, you got to say I," And he kind of went on and on about, how his life was going, how good things were. And I thought, well, okay, he's grandstanding a little bit. And he was kind of a windbag, I thought, and then I bottomed out, and what I realized was that he would come into the meeting, share a problem, and then he would come in the next week, and he would share a different problem because the other problem he had was gone. And I thought, that's what I need. I need to be able to work through these things that I'm going through, and I can't do it. I have to use. I have to cope. And there's somebody who's sober, and they're dealing with all the monumental problems that we have in our lives when somebody cuts us off in traffic, or you don't put the lid down, or But here was a guy that was kind of transcending those, and when I would call him, there were times when he would say, "Oh, this isn't really a good time." I remember one time in particular, State of the Union. I called like 5 minutes before the State of the Union, and I was having it wasn't good, bad day. He's like, "Wow, actually the State of the Union's on in 5 minutes. Can I call you back an hour, or you can call somebody else?" And I was crushed. It's like, "What? You're my sponsor, man. Come on." But the first thing that went through my mind was whatever Bill Clinton had to say was a lot more important than what I had to say, and which is probably true. And the other thing was that I actually could call somebody else, and that's what I did. And from that, what I realized is that I have a tremendous amount of power that that I didn't have when I first started working the steps to take responsibility for my recovery. And I think that's one of the biggest things that I got from working with a sponsor was, I have the power. I have what I was at the beginning, and there's what I was like at the end of working those steps. And at the end, I was different. I had the power. I could tap into the power to get better. And I'm still a burden today, I still call and people can't talk, and I just call somebody else. Thanks.
Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Hi, I'm Steve, sexaholic. Hi, everybody. When Robert asked me to speak on this topic, my first reaction was yay, because this is part of integral part of my story is how I got a sponsor, and I enjoy talking about it. It wasn't pretty, but I enjoyed talking about it. When I first came into SA, it was spring of 1992, and my career was in the toilet, and my marriage was heading for the toilet. My wife asked for a divorce, and she'd known about my acting out for years, but had tolerated it, and she'd finally had enough. And we'd been to therapy, and I'd said, well, wait a second, let's go back and see the therapist. And he said, well, you know what you need SA, and I told you about it years ago, and you didn't do anything about it. And he told her she needed, it was COSA at the time, but Essanon. And so we got real busy and wrote the different, I wrote all the different S fellowships, and SA wrote back, and they gave me the phone number of somebody, and I called that person, didn't hear back, and I called them back, and I said, do you got anybody else? And they said, yeah, there's this guy named Robert, and gave me his phone number. And I guess the important part is my wife, this was, like I said, June, late spring, early summer of 92, and my wife had said, I want you better by Labor Day or I'm gone. And so I was desperate. I did not want the marriage to end, probably more out of codependency and fear of abandonment than anything else. So I was desperate. So I called this guy Robert, and I think I must have called him three or four times in 24, 48 hours because I didn't hear back. And when he finally returned the call, he said, give a guy a break. So I was like, okay. He said, you ever heard about the 12 steps? And I'm like, well, I've heard of them. He said, you ever heard them? And I was like, no. So he read me the 12 steps, and he told me where a meeting was. And so I went to a meeting, and I must have gone to this meeting for about 4, 5, 6 weeks. And this is the important part. I heard maybe there were 10 guys in the meeting, and I'm sure Robert was there too, but I didn't know him at the time. And I heard guys in the meeting talk about, well, I say whine about, how nobody could sponsor them. They've asked for sponsors, and there was nobody around to sponsor them. And I'm thinking, God, woe is me. I'm never going to find a sponsor. And the literature says you got to get a sponsor, so, wow, I'm sunk. You know, Labor Day is going to come, marriage is going to end. And at the end of one, I must have finally spoken up and shared in a meeting, and Robert, I didn't know he was Robert at the time, came over and said, you know, I think I'm the guy you called and talked to on the phone. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, you know, I'm curious about this sponsorship thing. I hear people can't get sponsors. How do you go about getting a sponsor? He said, well, why don't we go off in the other room and talk? He later describes this as reeling them in. But he pulled me off to the side. We went to another room, and he talked about what it's like to get a sponsor and how he got a sponsor. And I whined about my problem some, and he said, well, what it sounds like you're looking for is peace of mind. And I'm like, yes, how did you know? You read my mind. And I said, so I hear people say they can't get a sponsor, but, you know, he said, well, you just got to ask somebody. And I said, well, obviously there's nobody around to sponsor because these people are talking about how they can't get sponsors. He said, well, why don't you give it a try? And I said, okay, will you be my sponsor? And he said, yes. And I just broke down in tears because I was so relieved I'd gotten a sponsor. So the bottom line was, what did I look for in a sponsor? Somebody who was available, somebody who'd say yes. And he also struck me as somebody who, he was the only healthy guy in the room, frankly, because he had a year's sobriety and nobody else had anything close to that. I'm like, man, he hadn't acted out in a year? I can't do that. So, and he said, why don't you come to my house and I'll show you some literature. And so we went to his house. He showed me some, he asked me what my meditation life was like, and he showed me a meditation book, and because I didn't know what meditation was. And so I took the book from him. He gave that to me. He let me borrow a white book, I think, and told me to get the 12 and 12 and the big book. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to meet at my house every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. I mean, this was not optional. It was like, if you want this, if you want what I've got, I'm going to meet at my house every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And I lived 60, 70 miles away in another town. So I was driving in Mondays for the meeting, and now I was going to drive in Sundays for the steps. And we're going to work one step a week for 12 weeks. And I'd say maybe it took, you know, 15 weeks because there was the fifth step in there and some holidays. Some things I got out of it, I got a new relationship with God. I got a new concept of God. We got around to third step. I mean, I was able to work my first step with him. He was able to help me understand what powerlessness was. He got me physically, emotionally in touch with what powerlessness meant and what unmanageability meant. And we got to the third step. He helped me understand that I needed to put my old concept of God on the shelf. It wasn't giving it away. I wasn't giving it to him. I just needed to set it aside and see what the 12 steps had to say about God. And I love the fact that he brought the circus cover of the first edition of Alcoholics Anonymous here, because I remember when that helped remind me when I did my fifth step with him. And it was a cold, freezing winter day. We were doing it by a lake, and I had not dressed warmly like he had told me to, or not warmly enough. And we went rummaging in his truck. He worked in the construction business, and he had a pair of overalls that he used to crawl under houses with. And I threw that on, and I had this stocking cap on, and there's this circus color book, and I felt like a real clown, which was good for my humility. The other thing I got out of it was acceptance. Robert accepted me. He didn't accept my behavior unconditionally. You know, it was dependent on what others said, that, you know, if I was willing to go to any lengths to get the spiritual experience necessary to recover from this disease, he was willing to work with me. But I never heard judgment from him. I heard, you know, I didn't hear that this was about a moral disease, that this was about a moral problem. It was just what works and what doesn't. And what wasn't working in my life was acting out. And what was starting to work was sobriety. And it was like I was at the end of my rope. My back was up against the wall, and I was at the edge of the cliff. I'm mixing a lot of metaphors, but you know, it was like I was desperate and I was ready. And so I'm so grateful that I met Robert and he walked me through the steps. And then I've gotten the opportunity to sponsor others, and so I sponsor others the way he sponsored me. So I would just say, if you're looking for a sponsor, just ask. And if the guy says no, go to the next guy and ask. And just find somebody who's worked the steps and has a little bit more time in the steps than you do. Maybe they've just got three steps ahead of you. Maybe they've just worked one, two, and three, and they're still getting them passed down the pipe from their sponsor. But it's important to get busy, and it was real important for me to get busy sponsoring others. Robert passed people who came to him and asked him to sponsor him, and he would say, you know, I'm busy, I'm sponsoring guys, but why don't you ask Steve? He's got the same steps I've got. And I'm thinking, they don't want Steve, they want Robert. Because I want what Robert's got. And I'm not Robert. I don't have his personality. We're different. And I've learned all this over time because I thought I needed to be like Robert. And so there was probably some, yeah, be like Robert. But it's been a real gift to be able to give it away, because it's only by giving it away that I'm able to keep it. I know that sounds like that's what the slogans say, but that's the truth. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve. I think I'll bring a chair over there just because that cord isn't very long. My name is Robert. I'm a sexaholic.
Hey, Robert.
And I have had 100% success rate with all of my sponsees. I'm sober. Whether or not they are, it is a different story. But the reason I'm doing it is for me. I'm sorry. It's still all about me. I may not be much, but I'm all I ever think about. I think you heard that the way that I was sponsored was my sponsor had me come over to his house every week with a 12 and 12 and a big book, and we went in and found out what the literature said about the program of recovery. And, you know, you can go to meetings. You go to enough meetings and you'll hear all manner of weirdness. And you need to be able to discern, you know, the good from therapy and group and psychobabble and all the rest of that stuff. Now, there's some, you know, good elements in there, but what we want to do is focus on the program, focus on the solution that works. And that is found in our literature. So once you get the literature and work through the program that's described in the literature, then you can make much more use of all the rest of the tools, therapy and group and all the rest of that. And God knows that from our family of origins, we could certainly use some help in that area. I always go over the questions and answers on sponsorship that AA puts out. And the pamphlet is in three parts. There's the part at the beginning is for the person looking for a sponsor. The vast majority of the pamphlet is for the person that wants to be a sponsor, and then there's a little section in the back for groups that want to engage in sponsorship activity. We cover the first part of that pamphlet. And the pamphlet says, you know, it makes two kind of rules, so to speak, and that is men sponsor men, women sponsor women, and two, that your sponsor should be a year or more away from their last relapse. Well, that's all fine and well for AA, but in a lot of areas where SA is not that established, finding somebody that has a year of sobriety may be a little bit tough, and you just gotta have to make do with whatever you know the best you can. I'd say that there are two unwritten rules that I'm familiar with, two rules of thumb for sponsorship. One, that they've worked the steps themselves because you can't give away what you don't have. And secondly, that your sponsor have a sponsor. With that, we have some questions. And the question is, how much sobriety does one need before being able to sponsor others? Actually, I think I just spoke to that. But I'd also say that, you know, in reading through the history of AA, after the Jack Alexander article came out in the Saturday Evening Post, national publication, and the fellowship was inundated with all of these people, it was kind of like, you know, having the cure for cancer in 1939, 1940. It's like, dang, you know, where can I get some, you know, and how can I get it? And they were inundated, and with so many people, people with long-term recovery just weren't available in the numbers needed, so they were having people that had, you know, 2 days of sobriety sponsor somebody that had no sobriety because they had 2 days more. You know, but we have the ability to choose with intelligence and our own best interest. I'd go for the best guy or woman that you can find and step up to the plate and ask. You know, if they turn you down, fine, but, you know, go for the best that you can get. I think it's Lucius Beebe that wrote, if you go through life demanding the very best, you'd be surprised how often you get it. You know, try. Your life might depend on it. So be brave. You know, have courage. And courage is a wonderful word. It comes from the old French word for heart, cœur, C-O-U-E-R. And when we get in touch with the feelings of our heart, we can demonstrate courage. So have courage and go for the best that you think that you can get. What about some of those other questions? How about phone sponsors? No meetings any closer than 3 hours. I'm going to let Patrick speak to that because he's working it over the phone.
Yes. Hi, I'm Patrick, sexaholic.
Patrick.
I think a phone sponsor is great. I mean, I think ideally you would have somebody that you could see in person only because that improves the possibility of communication or the level of communication. But I think that a phone sponsor could be definitely do the job, be as good. I think the important part of it is to be committed to it, and there are different aspects of phone sponsorship that you have to be committed to, you know, in planning and communicating. And it's working very well for me. So,
either of you guys?
Yeah. I'm Steve, sexaholic, and just wanted to add that I've both been sponsored by the phone and sponsored people by phone, and it works. It's not ideal, and I've had several sponsors. Robert continues to be my sponsor now, but when Robert moved from Atlanta to Washington, I got Will as my sponsor because Will was local, and I felt like I needed somebody local who had what I wanted, and Will had the same thing Robert had. And at the same time, I maintained a relationship with Robert. And then I moved overseas, and I'm like, well, I'm not in Atlanta, not in the U.S., and I'll go back to my original sponsor, and I'm going to have to make long-distance phone calls. No offense, Will. But I thought, well, I'll call Robert. And so I started calling Robert more often, and he continued to be my sponsor for 5+ years while I was overseas. I got an overseas sponsor back in the States in another program. And I would sponsor people where I was, some in person and some by phone. I sponsored a guy who was serving our country in Iraq. And he called me from, I assume, the Green Zone. He couldn't tell me where, but I could hear the choppers in the background. And we'd work through the steps. And he would take his big book and 12 and 12 up to the roof where he could get a satellite phone. And we'd go through the steps. So it's possible. It's not ideal, but it is possible. So that's my experience.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think, you know, anything's better than what I would have without it. So, you know, and that's all I have about that. There was another question on there, though, that, you know, the, and I'm kind of skipping around. I don't know if we need to go in order, but the question, can I succeed in the 12 steps without a sponsor? And the answer is, you know, maybe. I've never seen anybody do it. And I've certainly tried it. And if you can, let me know. And I'll certainly I'll help you bottle that pill and sell it. You know, the, I guess to kind of reiterate, the, it's, I think Steve said it best, but when we come into this program, you know, we don't have any power. We actually are, you know, addicts function at a very high level everywhere else except this one little area of our life that just eventually will destroy everything if we don't change it. And I think the we need to be able to tap into that power. And what I was told is when you work through these steps, you will be able to tap into that power, and you'll be different when it's finished. And and not only I think have I ever seen anyone succeed in the 12 steps without a sponsor, but I've never seen anyone succeed in the 12 steps without then in turn sponsoring others.
Patrick Sexaholic.
Hey, Patrick.
There is a question here. I'm trying to work through a relationship at the same time I'm trying to work on recovery, and I want a sponsor who has relationship experience while dealing with recovery. Is this necessary, and should I seek a sponsor with relationship experience? I just wanted to comment on that and see if anybody else has any comments. My feeling is the answer is, sure, seek someone with relationship experience, but it's not near as important as finding a good sponsor, period. And if they don't have relationship experience, I think that should work out just fine. I think that in trying to improve your sobriety and improve your communication and your relationship, you have to start with yourself and develop sober thinking and sobriety. And that's what sponsorship's about. So just to see if anybody else has any comments on that.
Steve, Sexaholic, just quickly, I don't mean any offense by this, but my thought is anybody, everybody has some relationship experience. I think I know what the question means is, are they in a love relationship perhaps, or a sexual relationship? But we don't live in isolation. And so anybody who's worked through the steps and is working and living a program of recovery has relationships with other people. And they have to interact with other people, and I think it's what Patrick was saying. I think what's more important is working on yourself, like Will was talking about, learning how to tap into a power greater than yourself. Because of myself, I'm nothing. I'm not able to function. I wasn't able to function before I came into these rooms. And what the steps showed me was how to get a relationship with my higher power. Another way of saying it is how to get in touch with that power greater than me, the part of myself that is in unity with all life, and which I call God. And if I can be shown how to have a relationship with God, then I can be shown how to have a relationship with other people. And so I think that's all I really need in a sponsor. Thanks.
We're gonna, you know, we got 5 minutes left in this meeting, and Does anybody have any questions? Any other questions that haven't been addressed? Okay.
Goes to mine.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering about.
Wait a minute.
I'm Bob, a sex addict.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Bob.
I was wondering about developing a long-term relationship with a sponsor and do joint projects and get involved, you know, beyond the, you know, the first year or two, sort of kind of wondering if there's a possibility of having, you know, much of a lifelong relationship that involves other projects and other activities.
Patrick, sexaholic. I just briefly would say that I think that the long-term relationship, I just forgot what I was going to say, but I think that it's not important to think about that if it's a successful sponsor relationship, it should continue, and the nature of that relationship will be at least involving the program sponsor-sponsee, and if anything else adds to it, let it be, and if not, so be it.
My name is Robert, and I'm a sexaholic. I still talk to the guy that took me through the steps, and you know, the benefit of working through the steps in the way that you've heard described here is that, well, there's a couple of benefits. One, it creates independence, not dependence. Because if it were dependent, I could only sponsor a couple of people and I'd be on the phone all the time, you know. And the reality is that I have sponsored more than 80 men, that I have worked through the steps with more than 80 men. And, you know, initially, you know, early in recovery, you seem to have a lot more phone calls. But then as you get the tools and learn how to live life on life's terms with the program of recovery, you don't need me. And you know, and that's a blessing. And usually the phone calls pick back up after they start sponsoring people. And then it's like, oh, you know, when we were working on step three, you know, did you, or, you know, on step eight, or, you know, it's questions about the steps. But then once they work through the steps once or twice, I mean, you know, when I hear from them, you know, work through the steps with sponsees on their own a couple of times, you know, unless we have a friendship and we're playing golf or, you know, doing something like that, doing running together or something like that, I mean, there's no need for them to check in on a regular, you know, on a daily or weekly basis or whatever. I hear from them on, you know, birthdays or anniversaries or, you know, birth of a child or, you know, change or updates. You know, generally I'll talk to guys 2-3 times a year, 4 times a year, and just kind of catch up. And if they don't call me, you know, I'll call them. It's a two-way street.
I wanted to, there's another question on here that someone asked about. There are not many women in my meeting with long-term sobriety. The ones that are maxed out. Excuse me. How do I go about finding a sponsor? And I'll just say that my wife actually found a sponsor at a conference. And we live in Atlanta, and her sponsor lives in North Carolina. So, you know, this is a great place to find one. And as we talked about with phones, or, I mean, you know, probably in 5 years we'll be talking about the first sponsorship relationship done by texting, you know. So, anyway, let me hit that.
There's one more question I would like to address. Mm-hmm.
Patrick, sexaholic. I'll read the question. I wound up with 2 sponsors since beginning last year. Should I pick just one?
Again, I'm Robert, and I'd go back to the pamphlet, Questions and Answers on Sponsorship, that asked that question, and the answer is absolutely yes. That, you know, you want to have the danger in having multiple sponsors, more than one sponsor, is, you know, shopping for the answer you're looking for. Like, Meathead calls up and says, you know, Susie, I really, you know, I met Susie and I want to date Susie. And absolutely not, meathead. And he calls out sponsor number two. And, you know, Susie's great, and, you know, and should I date Susie? And absolutely not, meathead. And he calls out sponsor number three, and sponsor three says, oh, yeah, I know Susie. She's a nice girl. Go ahead. Or, you know, plug in the blank, whether it's work or relationship or whatever else. The first time I got a second sponsor, the guy that took me through the steps is a letter carrier for the U.S. Mail, and he goes to bed at like 9 o'clock, and he's up at 4:30. A lot of the calls that I needed to make were after that time, and you know what Mike told me was, you know, if your butt is falling off, call, because I'd much rather call and talk to you before a relapse than afterwards. And so if the madness is upon you, call. I will talk. If you just want to call and chit-chat, call somebody else. You know, it's like, I'm sleeping. And so, you know, it got to the point where it was a problem for me. And I told Mike, you know, I think I need to get a different sponsor. And he goes, I agree. And we were both thinking of the same guy. And it worked out really well. And when I had the opportunity to update Mike on the issues that I was discussing with Bob, that was great. Now, the other thing that Mike told me is, and this was in Northern California, and I moved to Atlanta and then D.C. and Charleston, and now I'm back in Atlanta, but he said, get a sponsor locally, wherever you are. Get a local sponsor. And I've done that. And it has been a tremendous blessing. I mean, I just have wonderful relationships with men that I wouldn't have had otherwise. So I think that having more than one sponsor can be a good blessing. But again, you know, be smart.
Steve, sexaholic. And I just want to address another question, just be brief. The question is, there are not many women in my meeting with long-term sobriety or even at a year yet. And the ones that are at a year plus, I feel are maxed out. How do I go about finding a sponsor? I guess my thought when I read that was, you may feel they're maxed out, but they may not feel they're maxed out. So I'd at least ask them, will you sponsor me? And let them know I'm looking for a sponsor. And let them be the one to say whether they're maxed out or not, and not do that. Because that's what I was doing at the beginning of, you know, when I was looking for sponsors, I was reading the tea leaves in the meetings and feeling like, okay, there's nobody available to sponsor because these guys couldn't find one. And maybe they just didn't ask the right person. And then let them be the one to say. And if they are truly maxed out and they absolutely say no, then ask them for a recommendation of who you could go to. And then also what Will said, this is a great place, the convention is a great place to find a sponsor.
Or you can call Kay in Nashville.
Or you can call Kay in Nashville and reach out and find people who are available.
Questions?
Thanks.
Anybody want to make a comment?
I'll answer another question that's down here that we haven't gotten to, and it's about, I have 6 months with two temporary sponsors, or with a temporary sponsor. I'm considering asking a person I see once a week at meetings, but lives 30 miles away. I worry I would see him face-to-face, or I guess wouldn't see him face-to-face very often. I'd ask him. And again, it's great to have somebody local who you see face-to-face once in a while, at least once a week. But even if you don't see them face to face, and all you and if you know if your butt's falling off and you need the steps and you need recovery, then find a sponsor. And it doesn't really matter whether it's somebody at a meeting, that's ideal. And if not, then somebody long distance. You can always pick up the phone and work the steps by phone. So
thanks, Steve.
Robert again. When I asked Mike to be my sponsor, now, I'm also in Alcoholics Anonymous, the fellowship, and I've been screwing around with the program for 12 years at that point. And I had 5 years in relapse, 3 years in relapse, 1 year in relapse. Now I'm 3 years clean and sober yet again in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm sitting naked on my bedroom floor with a gun in my mouth. And absolutely desperate, you know, and after, you know, being filled with even more shame because I didn't have enough courage to pull the trigger, I looked at around the meeting and I saw this guy that he wasn't as educated as I wanted his sponsor to be, but what he had was a way of cutting through all the fog, getting right to the heart of the problem, identifying the problem, and then talking about working the steps as a way of getting a solution. And he would share his own experience in dealing with that, or, you know, talk about the literature. And that's the guy that I wanted to be my sponsor. Fast forward, God, I don't know, 12 years, something like that. And I was in Charleston, this is probably 6 years ago. And I went through a period of severe depression, and you know, I'm not going to get into why I got depressed or you know how, but it wasn't about the quality of the program that I was working, physical, mental illness, whatever, however you want to diagnose it. I was diagnosed as severely depressed, and yet again was considering suicide, and today I kind of like to say that, you know, I also had a lot of anger issues. You know, it was homicide on a good day and suicide on a bad. But I mean, it was real, and I was in trouble, and I had a sponsor that I was working with, but there was a guy that when, you know, my life was on the line, that's the guy that I called. And, you know, and when I was talking to this guy, I realized, this is my sponsor. And I fired the other guy and I went with him, and I still have him as a sponsor. So who do I want to be my sponsor? I want the guy that's going to save my butt. And that's not the guy that's going to sweet talk me and be my friend and, you know, have a lot of sympathy. I want the guy that is going to tell me the truth. And advice is a wonderful word, and it comes from the Latin advi, and it means to see. I don't want somebody to tell me what to do. I got issues with authority figures. You tell me what to do, I'll tell you where to stick it. But tell me what you did, and if I want what you got, I'll do what you did. And you know what I want is somebody that'll just lay out the options. You know, this is as I see it. These are the choices that you have as I see it, and I'm not stupid. I can figure it out. You know, just tell me what the options are, and hopefully I will choose with intelligence and my own best interest. Tom wants to speak.
Tom, sexaholic. One of the other things I was thinking about that question again: can I succeed in the 12 steps without a sponsor? And my sponsor is fond of saying or reminding me that I'm a self-made man, but I used unskilled labor. And so I don't know how I could have ever gotten through the 12 steps without a sponsor. And you know, one of the things that was real valuable for me when I did my fifth step with my sponsor, he remembered something that I had told him that came up later. You know, I told him about somewhere in my fifth step that I had lost a job once through anger and temper and kicked the door in. And the issue came up again in recovery. I got mad one day and slammed the door open and broke the door and didn't want to tell my boss about it. And, you know, so I was having an issue with conscience. And you know, I was able to calm that morning when I got off work and say, here's what I did. Not sure what to do about it. I could lose my job. And two things struck me with that. He first remembered that fifth step and said, sounds like you got an issue with doors. Which kind of floored me because I hadn't seen it. There have been a number of doors I've broken in my life, and doors represent something, you know. And he remembered that. So my sponsor knew me through that fifth step, took the time to pay attention and really get to know me, and paid attention enough that he could show me that later in recovery, here's something to look at. And then gave me the options on what to do. Well, you can tell your boss, you might lose your job. but here's an integrity issue. Or option B, you could not tell your boss, hope it blows over. You know, he didn't tell me what to do. He just gave me the options, and it was that clarity of thought and that solid experience that he already had in recovery that that's why I call him now still. You know, we've been through the 12 steps, and I got what I needed in the 12 steps, but that ongoing relationship then where he knows me through that fifth step and can see my blind spots and see things that I still haven't uncovered yet. So that there's that continued growth, and I think that's important for a sponsor. You know, you work with somebody, and they really get to know your heart issues. So help me see those defects. So I don't know how I'd do it without a sponsor. I sure wouldn't want to try.
Looks like our session has come to a close. I'd like to thank you for all of your questions and interest in being here. And anything that you have heard at this meeting is strictly the opinion of the individual participant. The principles of SA are found in our 12 steps and 12 traditions. And let's close the meeting in the usual manner with the Lord's Prayer.
Let's make a big circle. Okay.
Who brought us all together today?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Thank you very much.
Steve?
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you very much. Here's how he should have done it. And that's how he got it.
Thank you, Brian. A pleasure.